Democracy Concepts presents the second of a two-part audio of Defensive Mode, the final part of an eight-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy. The music is by Kwamina Ray Ellis. So there you have it, Chris. We are not talking about change for its own sake. These proposed changes or improvements to our democracy will bring real benefits to this country, and the people will be the better for it. You are so right, Grandpa. Now, my son, I want to shift the discussion onto something else. Okay, Grandpa, let's do it. Tell me, my son, do you know what hornets are? Of course, Grandpa. I know those wasps with painful stings. But why are you asking about hornets, Grandpa? Because all that we have discussed these few days amounts to stirring the hornet's nest. Stirring the hornet's nest? How, Grandpa? I don't get it. We have been talking about the politics of this country, and you don't get it when I speak about stirring the hornet's nest, my son. Oh, Grandpa, are you referring to possible political attacks? Exactly, my son. The political environment in this country convinces me that when what we have discussed comes into the open, the political hornets will descend on you and attempt to sting you to death. But why worry, Grandpa? This conversation is between us. Nobody will get to know, certainly not from me. You are wrong, my son. This conversation must not remain between the two of us. Why do you think I've spent this time speaking with you? I want you to put these ideas into the public domain. Bring them to the attention of the people. If you don't, I would have wasted the time I spent talking with you. But Grandpa, I have viewed all this discussion as an interesting intellectual exercise between grandfather and grandson. I never imagined that my grandpa wanted his ideas to reach our fellow citizens. I don't think... Stop it right there. Nothing you say will make me change my mind. I, your grandpa, am appealing to you with all my heart to bring these ideas to our fellow citizens. If you do that, you'll be doing me a great honor. Grandpa, the way you've gone about all this, and your use of "I appeal to you with all my heart," I see that you mean business. I have nothing else to say. I will do it, I assure you. Is that a promise, my son? Let's seal it with a handshake. It is, Grandpa. Thank you, my son. I may not be around to see you do it, but your assurance alone makes me very happy. You don't need to worry, Grandpa. I will find a way to do exactly what you ask. Right, then back to our discussion. When you have brought these ideas into the open, it is certain that you will face a flurry of naysayers who will raise objections to the changes we have agreed on, and possibly personal attacks from the political hornets. Okay, Grandpa, but what are some of the objections you envisage? This is from the mind of a dreamer. Why rock the boat? All the excitement in our politics will disappear. The principle of universal adult suffrage will be curtailed. It will require a massive review of the Constitution. The ideas are novel, neither tried nor tested. It is a recipe for power struggle and such other objections. These objections aside, some people may attack your person. You may be insulted and called all sorts of names. But you must not be daunted. Keep your promise. It is your obligation to the present and future generations of this nation. Okay, Grandpa, I am not afraid. A good cause is worth the sacrifice. That is the spirit. Now, what I intend to do is to defend these ideas against the various objections that will be launched at you. I am all ears, Grandpa. Now, let's answer those who may say that these ideas are from the mind of a dreamer. Okay, Grandpa. My son, do you know who a dreamer is? Well, I think a dreamer is a person whose feet are not on the ground, or who nurses ideas that are not realistic or practical. Exactly. So when people attack you in such terms, what exactly will they be implying? But everything that comes out of me should be dismissed because it is not realistic or practical. You are right, myself, but I have a better definition for a dreamer.
You do?
Yes, my son. A dreamer is a person who desires a certain preferred state, a far-sighted individual who sees clearly what others may find very difficult to perceive. That's insightful, Grandpa. I will point you to examples of dreamers, my son. Okay. Our first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah, was a dreamer. He dreamed of an independent African state where the black man be in charge of his own affairs. His dream sparked off a cascade of struggles that brought political independence to much of Africa. Yes, yes. You've heard of the African-American priest, Dr. Martin Luther King, haven't you, my son?
Yes, Grandpa. He's noted for his I Have a Dream speech.
Exactly. Dr. Martin Luther King was a dreamer. He dreamed of an America where a man's worth would not be determined by the color of his eye or skin.
You are right, Grandpa. And his dream sparked off massive changes in that country that brought some respect and dignity to his fellow African Americans.
It sure did, Mike. So you see, to be a dreamer is not bad, especially if the dream touches the well-being of your fellow men.
I agree, Grandpa.
So, what will you tell those who may attack these ideas as the work of a dreamer?
Well, that they should take these ideas seriously because they come from a dreamer, a person who sees clearly what they may have difficulty perceiving.
Excellent answer, my son. You see, the progress of this world has been significantly fueled by dreamers. Let's look at some more dreamers.
Okay, Grandpa.
Have you heard of the Wright brothers, son?
Yes, Grandpa. I know that they made a very successful attempt at flying in a machine.
Exactly. And do you know what happened to their initial attempts?
I think their initial attempts had limited success.
Now consider what has resulted from that dream. The aviation industry, as we know it today, with its fleet of modern aircraft, owes its existence to the dream of the Wright brothers.
Very true, Grandpa.
A dream has made international travel much easier. And you know about Henry Ford, don't you, my son?
Yes, Grandpa. He invented motor cars.
Yes, and when he dreamed of motorized vehicle, there was not a single stretch of road. Yet the impact of his dream on this world has been revolutionary.
Another dreamer, Grandpa, one of our times, is Bill Gates.
Okay, you tell me.
Grandpa, when computers were first invented, they were very huge machines. One computer could fill a whole room.
I see.
Bill Gates had a dream, and his dream was to put a computer on every desk through his Windows operating system. His dream has transformed the world in completely new ways.
Interesting, my son. You know I'm not very computer literate, but I can give you another dream from Ghana, Tete Kwashi.
Yeah, Grandpa. He is the man who brought cocoa to this country.
His dream, while he sojourned in Fernando Po, was to grow cocoa in his native land.
Yes, but did you know that Fernando Po is now called Equatorial Guinea?
They keep changing names of countries, but not the well-being of their peoples. But that's by the way. You see, when Tete Kwashi planted the seeds he brought from that country on his farm at Mount Point Kwapim, he was fulfilling his dream. The impact of his dream on Ghana's economy is there for all to see.
Grandpa, I think your point is well made. You are saying that no one should discard these ideas simply because they are coming from someone they consider a dreamer.
Exactly, my son. People who are prone to dismissing ideas from other people should learn from history. For it is the dreamers of this world who have changed the course of history. These ideas may be the work of a dreamer, but they have the potential to bring economic transformation to this nation in proportions unimagined.
You are right, Grandpa. I think those who dismiss these ideas outright may do so because they fail to see the potential they hold for this nation.
I agree, as some other people dismiss these ideas, not because they fail to see the potential they hold, but because they may perceive them as a threat to the status quo.
It is as we say, why rock the boat when it's sailing smoothly? Exactly that, my son. And do you know those who are likely to make such objections?
Yes, Grandpa.
It is most likely those who benefit greatly from the system or seek to benefit from it. And you know why they will object to these ideas?
Yes, Grandpa. It's because they will consider these ideas a threat to their positions or interests. It's not difficult to see.
And this is how I answer those who want the status quo maintained. I will address them directly.
Status quo lovers, walk the streets of the capital only. Don't go into the villages. Do not drive in your air-conditioned vehicles. Walk through the sun. Walk for an hour through the various markets of the city.
And why do you want them to do that?
My son, I want them to take in the poverty, the hardship, and the struggle which the ordinary citizens go through on a daily basis.
When you are done, status quo lovers, go back to the streets in the evenings. This time, take a slow drive in your vehicles, your tinted windows rolled down.
Oh, you want them to see the people who sleep on pavements in front of shops in the night, Grandpa?
Yes, my son. Let them go to those places when it's raining. They will see how the status quo is treating their fellow citizens. I want them to see firsthand how the status quo they love so much has consigned their fellow citizens to a life of misery and second-class citizenship.
Grandpa, the poverty and struggle of our people cannot escape anyone who cares to look. You are so right.
I have not finished yet. I ask those who want to maintain the status quo to be more adventurous when they go into the streets.
Adventurous? How do you mean?
Status quo lovers, be more adventurous when you approach the people you see on the streets and in the markets. Ask them how they live day by day. Ask them what they take for breakfast and supper. Do not ask about lunch.
Grandpa, I assure you, they will not like what they eat. It will be so shocking that they won't even believe it.
Well, at least they will be confronted with the struggle, the hunger, and the indignity to which the status quo they seek to protect is subjecting their fellow citizens. I want that experience to jolt their consciences so that they ask themselves, do I still want the status quo to remain?
Grandpa, you talk about conscience. It depends on whether their consciences are alive to issues.
Let me tell you something, my son. A late friend of mine, Opanyi Kwesi Kumu, used to say, every human being has a Supreme Court in his head, and nobody can escape the judgment of his Supreme Court.
I guess you are right. There comes a time when we cannot deny things any longer.
So, my son, let those people who want to maintain the status quo understand this, that the poverty, hardship, and unfulfilled promises that are so characteristic of life in this country represent a veritable time bomb waiting to explode in our faces.
Grandpa, you've spoken my mind here. I'm very much afraid that one day we may wake up to chaos and disorder. Our people suffer greatly, but not much is done to help them. It is a very scary situation.
Remember that such an explosion, if it occurs, will not discriminate. It will affect every one of us, including those who don't want the boat of this nation rocked.
You are right, Grandpa. I remember that it took the frustrations of one street seller to cause a cascade of social upheavals in much of North Africa.
A good example, my son. This country needs to take a cue from that. This country needs to make changes to its governance system to forestall a looming revolution of the people.
Grandpa, there's a limit to human endurance. The citizens of this country have endured too much hardship, promise and fail, and unfulfilled hopes and aspirations. Who knows when they will throw this up in an upheaval?
That's a good point, Mason. Clearly, our democratic system needs to improve so that the millions of our people who are consigned to a life of misery, frustration, business instability, and the high cost of living that erodes harmony in families may have a better life.
Yes, Grandpa, this nation needs to make serious changes for the sake of all.
So, my son, tell the people who do not want to rock the boat that we must rock the boat. Tell them that we need to do it peacefully and in an orderly manner. tell them that we need to steer the boat of this nation away from the tumultuous sea it is sailing in. Tell them that we need to steer it through calmer waters into safer shores, where the citizens of this nation will realize the dreams outlined in our constitution, those of maximum welfare, freedom and happiness, adequate means of livelihood, suitable employment, and where the needy will receive public assistance. That was a spirited defense, Grandpa. They will surely get to know, I assure you. Some other people will attack these ideas because in their estimation, the excitement associated with our political system will be taken away. That one is true, Grandpa. From what we have discussed, the national elections will be restricted to the presidential elections only. A lot of the excitement will be gone. You are right, Lisa. The current political system is full of excitement. Yeah, Grandpa. The party paraphernalia, the songs, the slogans, the interviews, and the campaign promises all add to this excitement. Moreover, it is during the campaign period that people who have been starved for long periods hope to cash in on politicians. Grandpa, it is a time when money is freely shared out. The time when bicycles, rice, toilet rolls, sugar, t-shirts, matchboxes stuffed with Ghana Cedi notes, and other goodies are freely distributed. Our people truly love the excitement. But my son, our people need to be more far-sighted. Political excitement cannot be a serious consideration for rejecting these ideas. And why not, Grandpa? If the excitement is lost, some people will lose their free goodies. Okay, let's consider it this way. How long has this political excitement lasted? The truth of the matter is that this excitement soon turns sour in the mouths of the people. Sour? How do you mean, Grandpa? You see, the promises given in open forum, those promises that generate great excitement, are often denied by those who made them soon after the elections. Grandpa, that is very true. I remember that one presidential candidate promised a drastic reduction in fuel prices. But when he became president, he denied ever making that statement. Moreover, many of the goodies that are freely given out are not of the best quality, and the money thrown at the people may only afford food for a day or two. That's exactly what I'm saying. You cannot seriously hold on to the excitement of the political campaign. And there is something else. It is on the wings of this political excitement that politicians throw dust into the eyes of the electorate. How, Grandpa? Let me tell you, my son. Political excitement is the cocaine of our democratic experience. Cocaine? How can that be, Grandpa? Let me tell you. You see, when people get high on this political excitement, they are stimulated to fight, harm, or even kill their rivals. On the highs of this political excitement, people are driven to do just anything to win political power, including acts that push this nation towards civil disturbances. I see your point, Grandpa. I remember that a serious civil disturbance nearly happened during one election, when one political party mobilized its members to besiege the offices of the Electoral Commission. Yes, I watched it on TV. Grandpa, that day, people abandoned their offices and businesses, fetched their children from school, and fled to their homes. The capital became a ghost city. And sadly, this kind of violence happens within political parties. Members of the same party often fight, bite, harm one another on the highest of political excitement. This is what political excitement can do to this nation. Very true, Grandpa. Now, the changes I've proposed will curtail this political violence. They will afford politicians and their parties less opportunity to create confusion on the wings of political excitement. So, if these benefits come at the expense of some political excitement, I don't think we should complain. In any case, what has more than 30 years of political excitement brought to this nation? Grandpa, you cannot start again. Political excitement, in my opinion, has brought joy to a few and great disappointment to many. My son, some other people may reject these ideas because the principle of universal adult suffrage will be curtailed. Yes, Grandpa, and I think it will be a genuine complaint, won't it? In the changes you proposed, the election of parliamentarians, and members of the State Council will not be done through universal adult suffrage.
You are right, but you see, the principle of universal adult suffrage is only one of the means for selecting leaders of a country. It is not carved in stone, my son.
That may be so, Grandpa, but as a method, it's very easy to use. And it appears to make every citizen feel important, at least for a while. Don't forget the co-promoted power slogan. People love it and have taken it in.
Well, that is one of the deceptions of democracy. It gives you a feeling of importance. It's just a feeling, my son.
And why do you say that, Grandpa?
Because the so-called power that a voter is touted to possess quickly evaporates into thin air soon after the elections, and he controls nothing thereafter. Besides, the one-man, one-vote principle does not always produce the desired result.
And why not, Grandpa?
The one-man, one-vote principle has not always ensured the election of committed leaders. It has not improved the economy. It has not made our democracy any better. Indeed, the one-man, one-vote principle has become the bane of our democracy in recent times.
How has it achieved that, Grandpa?
You see, because our politicians and political parties are aware that sheer numbers count like universal adult suffrage, they engage in all sorts of shady, sometimes illicit actions to get as many people to vote for them as possible. Let's face it. All the mob practices that go on during elections, including the vote buying, ballot stuffing, forging of voter cards, and the busing of people, some of them foreigners, to vote for particular candidates, can be traced to the principle of universal adult suffrage.
I think you have a point there, Grandpa.
I surely do, my son. And I have not finished.
Consider the huge expenditure associated with our elections and all the trouble our Electoral Commission goes through to run elections.
Consider the expense associated with maintaining our voters' register, the need to use biometric equipment, the difficulties of voter verification, and the presence of party agents at all polling centers and in the strong room of the EC. All that can be traced to the one-man, one-vote principle.
So very true, Grandpa. And we can mention the state of heightened tension that this country goes through during elections, and all the disputes that erupt after every election, the most prominent being the 2012 election petition hearing at the Supreme Court.
Look, my son, the one-man, one-vote principle appears simple, but in reality, it costs this country millions and offers little benefit to the ordinary citizen. Why does this country spend so much money on electing leaders who mostly deliver suffering and hardship to her citizens? Why?
That is food for thought, Grandpa. Great food for thought.
So you must tell those who are motivated to reject these ideas on the basis of universal adult suffrage to pause and think. They should think hard, because these ideas would ensure that the metropolitan, municipal, or district authorities are better placed to deliver development to their areas. That the people who enter parliament go there not to speak for political parties, but to speak on what directly concerns the people. These ideas will ensure that parliament is better placed to keep our governments on their toes and cause them to perform better.
I agree, Grandpa, and I think corruption is another thing that will be curtailed, and all that can be achieved without the one-man, one-vote principle.
Indeed, my son. So tell me, are people justified in rejecting a system that can improve their living conditions for the sole reason that their power to vote will be limited to one or two elections?
I don't think so, Grandpa.
You see, Jesus once told his followers, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better to enter into heaven with one hand than to enter hell with the whole body.
I think it is symbolic, not to be taken literally, Grandpa.
No doubt, but it is so apt for our situation. My son, tell our fellow citizens who are in love with the one-man, one-vote principle that since it has not improved the living conditions of the majority of our people, we should cut it off and throw it away. It is better for our people to enter a state of economic well-being without one-man, one-vote than to bask in the principle of one-man, one-vote and remain in economic hell.
I agree, Grandpa. The principle is excellently applied. But what would you say to those who would claim that the changes you have proposed will require a massive review of the Constitution?
Oh, that. Yes,
That's a valid point. Many of these ideas go contrary to the provisions of the Constitution.
Exactly, Grandpa. The separation of the powers of the President and Head of State, the representation of the people in Parliament, the establishment of the State Council, and other such ideas are alien to the Constitution, and adopting them will require extensive changes to it.
You are right, my son. But what is the problem with changing our Constitution?
If we must change our constitution to craft a system that would improve governance and economic development, as well as eliminate, or at least significantly reduce, political corruption, what are we afraid of?
You have a point, Grandpa.
My son, what creating the constitution has brought about is that it has subjected this nation to the spell of politicians and political parties to the disadvantage of its citizens.
Must this constitution hold us back from adopting changes that will bring real improvements in the lives of the citizens of our country?
Well, what can I say, Grandpa?
Let me tell you another thing our constitution has foisted on this nation. It produces a president who is so powerful that even his lowly placed officials easily usurp the power of the state. Now tell me, should this constitution immobilize us from addressing this power imbalance?
I guess you have a good point there, Grandpa.
Of course I have. Let's change the constitution, for the constitution was made for the people, not the people for the constitution.
Well said, Grandpa. Very well said.
My son, there is one other attack that may be held at these ideas.
Some people may strongly argue that these ideas have neither been tried nor tested anywhere in the world.
And that will not be false, Grandpa, will it?
You are missing the point, my son. The fact that an idea is new doesn't mean that it is useless and must be discarded. That is not true.
Grandpa, you see, the real and relevant question to ask about any novel or apparently strange idea should be, does it make sense? Or does it hold good potential to deserve attention?
I guess you are right, Grandpa. We are often too quick to dismiss new ideas without giving them much thought.
Exactly, my son. And I am certain that anybody who carefully and truthfully considers his ideas should come to only one conclusion. They deserve very serious attention.
You do indeed, Grandpa.
My son, I have lived a very long time in this country, and I really fear for the future if the current governance system does not change. I am firmly convinced that things need to change, and I believe that the ideas I've shared with you present an opportunity for that change to occur in a peaceful and controlled manner.
I agree, Grandpa. We should avoid firefighting a brick to solve national problems.
Now to my next defense, my son. I propose that the positions of President and Head of State be separated. Do you remember?
I do, Grandpa. Very well. It's one of the key changes you've proposed.
You know, some people may make a case there and say that it is a recipe for power struggle.
Power struggle? How?
Power struggle between the President of the Republic and the State Council.
Grandpa, that possibility exists, doesn't it?
It does, I agree, but the likelihood is very remote.
And what makes you so sure, Grandpa?
We said that the State Council will have the power to call for the impeachment of the President, right?
Right, Grandpa.
But you see, Parliament will not be obliged to impeach the President unless it is convinced that the State Council has valid reasons to support its call for impeachment.
You are right, Grandpa. Parliament will need to be convinced before it takes such a serious action.
Great. It means that the State Council cannot be frivolous. The exercise of its powers over the President, it will need to tread cautiously to avoid a crisis where Parliament refuses to impeach the President.
That's interesting, Grandpa. The State Council will check the President, and Parliament will moderate the power of the State Council. Interesting arrangement.
Yes, but the President will also need to be conscientious in the performance of his or her functions.
Yeah, Grandpa, because the State Council can call for his or her impeachment.
So, my son, there will be a delicate but sure balance of power. That will be great for good governance.
Very interesting, Grandpa. I am impressed.
It's all for the good of our dear country.
It sure is. There is one concern for me in all this, my son.
Concern? Yes. I fear that not only will people attack these ideas, they may also attack your person.
Attack my person? In which ways?
They will insult your intelligence, social standing, and possibly your family.
And Why would anyone attack my base? I'm just a harmless, ordinary citizen.
You are forgetting something, my son. The moment you bring these ideas to all the people, some powerful people may consider you a threat to their political ambitions. They might consider you a dangerous person.
Well, Grandpa, after listening to you these few days, I have no doubt that your ideas have come from a careful observation of our current political system.
Exactly so, my son. And not only that, I have done a critical analysis of portions of our constitution and have observed that there are serious flaws with the current scheme of things.
And I believe that you have a sincere desire to see carefully managed change that will benefit this country and her citizens.
You are right, sir. These ideas come out of a good faith and a clear conscience.
In that case, Grandpa, I am proud to be the one to carry these ideas to my fellow citizens. Rest assured that I fully share your views, and I make no apologies whatsoever to people who may feel threatened in any way.
That is reassuring, but don't forget, sometimes the insults may get to you.
That may be true, but you see, resorting to insults is easy. Anybody can do that. I think it is a characteristic of weak minds. I will not bother too much about that.
A more positive approach, in my view, will be for people to critique these ideas with a view to making them better or to offer better alternatives.
Those who cannot do that should leave it to those who can to contribute objectively to these ideas.
Very well said, my son. You make me truly proud.
This ends Defensive Mode, and with it, the 8-part series that discusses fundamental changes to Ghana's democracy.
The creator of this series is Isaac Boholu.
Thanks for listening and spread the message.